Mystery writer P.D. James has a new autobiography. It's called A Time to Be in Earnest. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says the memoir doesn't solve all the mysteries of James' life, but it will deepen her readers' appreciation of the woman considered by many to be the greatest living writer of detective fiction.
Reading this diary of a year in the life of mystery master P.D. James will no doubt make her legions of devoted fans, of which I am one, want to give her a good throttling. "Stay home," I hissed in exasperation about halfway through A Time to Be in Earnest. "Sit still at your desk for a few days and begin a new novel." For if we learn one thing about James in this memoir, it's that she doesn't like to stay put. Like some hardy Victorian lady explorer whose carpet bag is always packed and ready, James is an enthusiastic partygoer, lecturer, and junketeer. In the course of a few short weeks, she trundles off to Norway, jets off on an American book tour that includes one-night stands in Pittsburgh and Dayton, and gamely goes to sea on the QE2 as a guest speaker. This dizzying schedule barely leaves James time for socializing with her two daughters and their families, or with her fellow mystery writer pals like Dick Francis, Ruth Rendell, and John Mortimer. Like most English ladies of a certain age, James fixates in her diary on flowers, ecclesiastical architecture, and her cat. But strangely, about the act of writing, we hear nary a mention. Perhaps this is just as well. Writing can be a frustrating and messy enterprise. To read a diary entry by James that confessed something like, "Saturday, 16 June, sat at my desk for hours, scratching my forehead and watching dandruff motes drift by in the sunlight," well, that would spoil the atmosphere of competent good cheer this diary radiates. Despite, or perhaps because of this book's unprepossessing subtitle, A Fragment of Autobiography implicitly warns readers not to expect too much. James's diary is very entertaining and very calming, like reading a Barbara Pym novel about English gentlewomen. In her prologue, James says that one of her motives for undertaking this record of 1 year, from her 77th to 78th birthday, was to have her own say on her life before posthumous biographers began feasting on it. In these entries, James reveals herself to be resolutely unself-pitying, kind, there's no dirt dished here, and socially conservative. For example, James tells a feminist lawyer she meets at a literary dinner that she's tired of women presenting themselves as victims. Because, as James admits at the outset, her diary will inevitably catch on the threads of memory as burrs stick to a coat. We hear about her parents and their melancholy marriage, her traditional schooling, where the curriculum was heavy on the memorization of poetry, which James thinks was a good thing, her career as a civil servant in various government offices, her belated start as a detective fiction writer, and her musings on why women are particularly suited for the literary art of murder. Even in an autobiographical fragment like this one, however, themes inevitably emerge, themes that James herself seems largely unaware of. She makes constant references here to the wars that transformed her world. Reflecting on World War I, James eloquently states, "My generation was born under a pall of inarticulate grieving." James gave birth to her second daughter as German buzz bombs were raining down outside the hospital. She writes of the daily deprivations and culinary horrors of wartime as vividly as she describes the workings of Adam Dalgliesh's overactive brain in her extraordinary mystery series. James also returns over and over to the enduring loss that World War II inflicted on her life. In the very first entry here, she describes a dismal railway ride back from a weekend at a seaside hotel where she attended a golden wedding anniversary party for Dick Francis and his wife. That initial image of a solitary James standing apart and observing other people's apparently happy marriages is one that reoccurs throughout this diary. James's own marriage was terribly diminished when her young husband, Connor, returned from World War II a different man, one who would suffer from mental illness and be in and out of asylums until his death in the early 1960s at the age of 44. About him, James simply states, "I shan't write about my marriage in this incomplete diary, except to say that I have never found, or indeed looked for, anyone else with whom I have wanted to spend the rest of my life." Nonetheless, her husband, or his absence, haunts these pages. It's glib to say, but maybe his absence has enabled them to be written too. The tragedy of her husband's death seems to have placed a pane of glass between James and the world she observes. And her characteristic stance, James's way of talking about herself as being apart, even in the midst of the most congenial crowd, is, after all, the quintessential writer's position. James's title comes courtesy of Dr. Johnson. At 77, it is time to be in earnest. Judging by her own no-nonsense account of her industrious and thoughtful life, there never seems to have been a time when James wasn't.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A Time to Be in Earnest, a fragment of autobiography by P.D. James.